welcome back to the Beliefers Podcast, the most optimistic Maple Leaf podcast you will find out there. This is episode 34, the Austin Matthews episode, AO, and I am your host, Mikey D. I am also 4.5 beers in, got a 12-pack of James ready with me, and yeah, it was a fun Friday night. I usually record these podcast episodes Saturday night after the Leaf game, but due to life and plans and things happening, I am unable to watch the game nor record the podcast tomorrow, so I'm doing it tonight. Oh fuck, I almost had a nice shot at the net there. I'm unable to watch the game, so I'm doing an episode tonight, and I'm playing a game of Shell while doing so. So this is gonna be fucking bonkers. If I thought doing a live Yahoo fantasy draft while recording an episode was wild, I'm in for a treat with this. Because holy shit. So bit of a celebration, because so in November the show turned 1 year old. And I got drunk as fuck for that. And in this past week, thank you Facebook Memories, it has been 1 year since the show has become available on Spotify, on Google, on Apple. Wherever you get your podcast from, wherever you turn a corner, you will find this show. And you know, I had to be drunk as fuck for this. If I can find a reason to get drunk, I will. Like, it will become a reason. I will will it into the universe. Yeah, so quick fun notes before we get into the Leaf talk. So the Leafs are playing Washington tomorrow and digitally tonight. Ovechkin is climbing up the goal scoring record books. He hit 800. I haven't kept up too much on it. I've only kind of heard like outside the window kind of thing, but it's incredible what he's doing. In 32 games played this season, he has 20 goals and 15 assists for 35 points. That's man's aging like a fine wine. But yeah, so recently he hit 800 goals, and yeah, slowly but surely he's catching up to the great one Wayne Gretzky, who has 894 goals total, and Ovi's just 94 goals behind him. It's just I'm keeping politics out of this. I'm not getting into that at all. But just Ovi is Ovi. I love Ovi. Out of the Ovi Sydney discussion, I will take Ovi all day any day. Again, I'm keeping politics out of this. I'm very much keeping politics out of this. But it's incredible that he's less than 100 goals away. Like I kept saying with Mitch Marner when he went on his 23 point streak there. I know I said it with Matthews when he went for 60 goals last season. We're watching history unfold in front of us. Now, yes, we saw history unfold in front of us in the forms of a virus and lockdowns and all that, but in terms of sports and fun and good stuff, we're watching legends being made and new records being put into the sports history books, which is it's so fucking awesome to see and be a part of. Oh shit. I thought I got a penalty or something was happening here in Shell, but it's just the intermission. It is the first intermission. So first intermission, it is 0-0. 7 shots for the Buds, 5 for Washington. I have 3 minutes time on attack and Washington's got 1, so hoping to come out with the dub if I'm spending this much time in the offensive zone. So to very quickly finish up on Ovi before getting to the second period here, it's really cool to see what he's doing and how soon he can do it. I don't know, we're a month into the season, and unless he starts getting like 3 to 4 goals every, or 5 goals every game, it is for sure happening next season. But it's going to be awesome to see it when it finally does happen. So moving on from one cool thing eventually in league history to another thing. This is the first thing in league history. Longest NHL shift with just over six minutes. Jack Hughes of the New Jersey Devils. Jack Hughes. So the Devils played the other night, and I had seen the post on social media that he had played for 6 minutes. I very much need to see the highlights of that, but just hearing that is just absolutely insane. Out on the ice for 6 minutes, and literally all I can think of is the episode of the Trailer Park Boys, the animated series. They did 2 seasons of their show, but animated on Netflix. And in one episode, they play ice hockey, and it is just the greatest 20 minutes of television that they've done since Closer to the Heart. Though in that episode, they had Nathan MacKinnon guest star, and he played for like a full minute or something, and he broke his knee. though Jack Hughes did not break anything as far as I know. but it's, oh, we got a fight here. A minute into the second period, and Ben is going up against Strome. I'm kicking your fucking ass, buddy. There you go. Yeah. Down goes Strome. Alright, and now to finally move on into Leafs talk. It's only been 2 games. and we've got 1 win. And 1, their first, since early November, regulation loss. Heh. What's a loss? Honestly, I think I can speak for all of Leafs Nation for what I say. 1 regulation loss a month is incredibly fucking bearable. Holy shit, man. Yeah, we can definitely work on overtime, and they have been practicing 3-on-3 overtime at the training facility, but in terms of regulation loss within the first 60 minutes, that's good. That's real good. So they won 7-0. They got a touchdown against Anaheim, and then the loss came at the hands of the New York Rangers. Honestly, I love it when the Leafs play the Rangers, and especially when they're in New York at Madison Square Garden. A segment I want to have for a future episode is like Leaf games I'd like to attend to out of town. I've gotten a bit of an experience watching being in Pittsburgh and watching Pittsburgh play a playoff game and seeing their reaction there. I would love to absolutely do that for the Leafs. And I think for a future episode, I'll do like maybe 3 to 5 places I'd like to go to. I think that would be a lot of fun. So we're going to focus a bit more on the win. The loss was unfortunate, yeah. But I mean, they were going to lose again. I mean, like, no team wins 82 games in a season. The streak was going to end. Marner's streak was going to end. Yes, it would have been fun to have seen him gone on for maybe 60 game point streak. It had to be 67. But you know what? Honestly, I'm not. I'm not. I'm gonna sleep easy. I'm gonna sleep easy, despite the loss. It wasn't that bad. At least Michael Bunting, the other Mikey Ayo, he's continuing his point streak, getting the lone goal in the game against the Rangers. But what was cool to see, just like I liked Kerfoot last season. It was nice to see him get on a scoreboard, not once, but twice. And what was surprising to hear, it was his first time scoring two goals as a Maple Leaf. What the actual fuck? Absolutely bonkers. And getting goals from Joey Anderson, who's one of the new kids. Everyone's favorite giraffe, Engvall, getting his fifth of the season. Everyone's new favorite smiley goalie, Samsonov, with 28 saves, and a shutout game. At least I'm going more off of, yes, the game against Anaheim. But man, this team is, it looks so, they look so ready for the fucking playoffs. If they keep up that play where, like, they barely gave Anaheim any breathing room. Like, it was wave after wave after wave of blue and white. It was beautiful, man. If they can keep that up for the rest of the season, and honestly, I believe, and you should too, especially in the goalies, which, you know, coming into this time last season, as much as I love Jack Campbell, I loved Jack Campbell when he was with the Leafs, and a lot of us did, because of how fucking friendly he is. And but with the cards that we were dealt with, Murray and Samsonov, both of these goalies came back from injury and have looked spick-fucking-tacular. And then it's been said multiple times. I've said it on Leafs Late Night. Go listen to them. Great podcast. Shout out, guys. Love you guys. Murray's story of him and his dad growing up, it's how do you cheer against that? You can't. With this Leafs core, it's they've been consistently great in the regular season, and now that we know what we've got in our goalies, we are going to get consistent goaltending. Because last season, yeah, the schedule was a little messed up. COVID screwed up some games here and there, and the Leafs had only played like once or twice a week throughout like December and January, something like that. And that was also around the time where Jack Campbell really fell off. And he was not the Vezina candidate November, Jack Campbell. but honestly, this Leafs team is clicking in such a way, that honestly, the rest of the league, you should look the fuck out. Yeah, we lost one, but that was the first L in 1 month. This team's going places, man. So, as I finish up the second period here, 1 minute left in the second period, I'm going to get into the three stars of the week. The third star of the week, I'm going to give it to a person, a player that Leafs Nation has been desperately trying to trade. I mean, yeah, he has taken a step back this year, but getting to his first multi-point game as a Maple Leaf, I'm giving it to Kerfoot. I've liked Kerfoot in the past. I liked him last season. Yeah, he's taken a step back this year, but it's nice to see that as the Swiss Army knife that he is, that he's, you know, still producing for the team, helping the team out where they need him to be. I'm giving Kerfoot the third star of the week. It is now the end of the second period. 14-10 shots in favor of the Buds. Oh my god. I'm coming out with a fucking goal. Time on attack. I have 6 minutes 45 seconds and Washington has 2 minutes and 57 seconds. I am going to fucking crack that goddamn net in this upcoming period. Speaking of cracking the net, the second star of the week is going to the lone goal scorer and point streak continuer from the game against the Rangers. I'm giving it to Michael Bunting. 6 points in his last 5 games. He's really come back to form to the Bunting that we fell in love with last season, and it's just we're just relishing in it, and it's just it's so much fucking fun to see. So Michael Bunting, you are the second star of the week and the first star of the week. Even though history came to an end the other night, history was made. A new Toronto Maple Leaf franchise record was set with Mitch Marner. That's Marner, take a bow, buddy. That's take a bow. Fucking even still with the 23 points aside, having 6 points in the last 5 games, definitely nothing in the last one, I know. But still, Marner, that is a hell of a feat. On a team where, you know, a 60 goal scorer gets the spotlight, the goalies are getting the spotlights, especially with the shutouts. And especially on a team in a city where, when you're not performing, they're fucking running you out with fucking pitchforks and shit. Mitchell Marner, it's nice to see you on the Leafs having fun. You are definitely the first star of the goddamn week, you beautiful fuck. So I'm getting into the third period here, and I am in the offensive zone, man. I'm coming out with a goddamn goal, I tell you. So moving on into upcoming games and predictions. So, well, they play tomorrow against Washington, and this is kind of my preview sequel, I guess, because I did do a prediction for Toronto Washington in the last episode. If anything, I can't recall what I gave the Leafs, but I remember saying 2 for Washington, and I said Ovi would get 1 or both. So I guess whatever the score is here in the game is, that'll be the final prediction for tomorrow. So we are 5 simulated minutes away from finding out what the score will be. And to go on into next week, they play Tampa Bay on Tuesday at home, and they play Philadelphia on Thursday. I think the Philadelphia game is at 2 in the afternoon. I know the Leafs get like 1, 2 o'clock game in the afternoon a season, and it's usually either between Minnesota or Carolina. There was a game against Carolina a few years ago where the Leafs won like 8-6. That game was like 2, 3 in the afternoon. So to give those games predictions, and remember, Optimistic Leafs Podcast, and we all come to this show to believe for the best. And all of these scores have a dub and other positive Leaf things going on. So in the game against Tampa Bay, it's funny because apparently the media, Kiprios was saying, or Justin Bourne, one of them, I'd seen the tag that they thought this Leafs-Rangers game had a playoff feel to it. No, it very much did not. It was back and forth. Yeah, it's 2 fun teams to watch, but it very much was not a playoff feel to it. Fucking Jesus, no, it wasn't. But the game against Tampa Bay, that's a legitimate, like, we played Tampa earlier this fucking year in round one. This is a playoff rematch, if anything. So this one should be definitely a lot closer. I'm not sure how Tampa's been. You know what? Let's actually look that up. I'm going to look up Tampa's last five games. Oh, fuck. So I took a shot from the blue line. Oh, shit, it went in. Okay, I shot it, but I didn't see it go in, so I scored. So the Leafs scored. So the Leafs are going to get the first goal 10 minutes into the third period of tomorrow's game. Jesus. Okay, so in Tampa's last five games, they've won 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so they've won 4 of their last 5. Their last L come in at the hands of Detroit. Detroit winning 4-2 last week. Usually when Toronto and Tampa play, I keep the score close, like one goal game. I mean, Tampa's just that fucking good, man. I'm going to stick to that trend. And I'm going to say the Leafs win 2-1. I'm going to say the Leafs win 2-1 against Tampa on Tuesday. And on Thursday, when they play Philadelphia, let's look up their schedule now. Here we go. Okay, so Philadelphia's 1-1. One game. Oh my god. Jesus. I very much have been out of the loop with Philly. To my Philly, my coworker who's a Philly fan, I'm sorry. Also, you want to get a coffee bet going? okay, so Philly won 2-1 over the Devils. Lost 3-2 against Colorado. Lost 5-4 against Arizona. Lost 2-1 to Vegas. And 4-1 against Washington. I'm going to say the Leafs win. Six nothing. I'm going to say 6-0. We're going to see another close to a touchdown. yeah. So that's going to be the prediction for the game against Philadelphia. And on that, while I'm finishing up the game of Shell here, Washington scored, Sheary scored. So with 5 minutes left to go in the third period, it is 1-1. Get your bets in if you do that. I'm not into gambling as much as I used to, so I was really into the fucking scratch tickets. Crossword was my fucking shit way back when. but continuing on with the show as I finish up the game, class gets settled in. We got a fun class of Hockey History 101 today, despite video games being played. I remember back in my day, you couldn't play video games before. You had to do your homework first and all that. Now I'm getting the cake and eating it too. okay, so this one's fun because it involves the Toronto St. Pats. And although he began playing organized hockey in 1916, oh, I'm really going to butcher this name and I'm sorry. R.L. Joliet did not play his first NHL game until December 16th, 1922. On this night, he was the only shining spot for the Montreal Canadiens. Heh? As he scored their only two goals in a 7-2 loss at the hands of the Toronto St. Pats. Oof. Oh, that's all music to my goddamn ears. What else do we got here that is pretty cool? Oh, here we go. Bruce Boudreau. Bruce, there it is. Scored the only hat trick of his NHL career on this day in 1977 in a Maple Leaf 8-5 dub against the Minnesota North Stars. And Hall of Fame defenseman Borje Salming, RIP buddy, picked up 5 assists on that night. And yeah, it looks like that's it for Hockey History 101 for this week, for this odd Friday class of Hockey History 101. I guess if anything, as a scheduling update for now. Oh, Johnny T scored. Beautiful shot. Just, okay, here we go. We got the replay. Oh no, Liljegren on the assist. I'm right at the one of the face-off circles next to the net, and I just fucking wrist her. I'm gonna lock down the defense. There we go. That's a cool little thing. You know what? I actually don't mind Shell 23. A lot of people have problems with it. I mean, I would love for fucking Blades of Steel to make a comeback, but I mean, for like what's out there, like I try to find the fun in the fucking EA games as much as they're almost the same game every year. But yeah, so we're just finishing up the game here. Final 40 seconds and it's 2-1 Leafs. So this is gonna be the final prediction for tomorrow's game. I think this is the first time I've predicted the same game twice. On the history of this show. I got the empty netter. Malkin got the empty netter. Alright, so I'm trying to bring up the NHL standings for wrapping up the show here. Just to let you all know that the sky is not falling in Toronto, despite, you know, losing 3-1 to the Rangers. We are second in the Atlantic still. Like, listen to that. Second in the Atlantic in 31 games played, 19 dubs, 6 L's, and 6 overtimes for 44 points. That is fucking beautiful. And in the overall league, let's go for the overall league. Yeah. Oh, okay, they slipped. Because the last time I had seen, Toronto was third. And Boston is currently first. Vegas is second. New Jersey is third. Hi, Johnny Boy. And Toronto is fourth overall. That is awesome. That is fucking beautiful. That is absolutely what you want to see. Oh, yeah, I got the second empty netter. Zach Ashton Reese. Fucking beautiful. Fuck, I'm going to try and hit 10 goals. Fucking most of them are empty netters. 11.6 seconds, and it is 4-1 Leafs. I think they can hold on to a 4-1 lead with not much time to go left in the third. There we go. That's the end of the game. I should have done the countdown, yeah, but next time when I'm not drunk. all right, so let's get into opening the cards, because this is now apparently a regular segment on the show. I frequent 2 Tim Hortons when I go to work. Oh, fuck yes. This is gorgeous. pack one of four, and the first one's a gold etching Austin Matthews. Beautiful. Absolutely fucking beautiful. Matthew Tkachuk, and he's in an away Flames jersey. He should not be because he's not there anymore. And lastly, Kucherov from Tampa Bay. Oof. Yeah, I said it on the last episode, or maybe the one before. So I frequent two Timmys at work, or close to work, and the two clerks had said, like, yeah, we're fucking stocked down here. So this is a regular segment now. Holy shit. Pack two of four. Steven Stamkos gold etching. So keeping with the Tampa. Oh my god, I'm getting every Tampa Bay player here. I got Victor Hedman. Regular card Victor Hedman. And Lucas Raymond off of Detroit. Holy fuck. I'm getting every fucking Tampa player. What the fuck? Also, I have to very much go through my cards. And if, for those of you that listen to every episode, if I've said I have a double of, the one I do know I have a double of, I have like 50 doubles of Dawson Mercer. If you want any doubles, just let me know. I'll hook you up. Oh, god damn it. Pack three of four. And the first card here, the special card, is a red shiny card. Sidney Crosby. God fucking damn it. I'd rather take my third or fourth double of the red shiny card of Ovechkin. I very much would. Regular card, Kaprizov off of Minnesota. He's in the away jersey, but they really should be in, he should be in the reverse retro, because both Minnesota's reverse retros are fucking awesome. And finally, Daniel Nurse off of Edmonton. And opening the final. Oh my god, here we go, baby. The final pack. The first card. Spectrum Standouts, Mitchell Marner. Your first star of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Fucking history maker right there. That's a fucking beautiful. These are really cool cards, too. Regular card, Chris Letang. Also, yeah, he had a stroke, and now all of a sudden he's coming back. I would very much, like, still be resting up. I hope he's okay. That's like his second stroke, I believe. That's, yeah, just insane. Hockey players are a different breed of human. And the last card for this week's episode is Sebastian Aho off of Carolina. He's in the away jersey with the Kane letter mark going across. Those are nice jerseys. I have a t-shirt that's kind of in that vein, where it says Jerks in letter mark going across. I love that shirt. It's fun. That's a fun shirt. And that was this week's episode of the Beliefers podcast. This was absolutely wild. So the prediction for tomorrow will be 4-1 against Washington. Shots will be 26-24 for the Buds. Time on attack, the Leafs will double them 10 minutes flat to Washington's 5-15. And yeah, that was actually a really clean game. Washington only had one power play. I don't even remember what the fuck I got called for, but they don't capitalize on it, at least. So we're going to see a 4-1 dub for our boys tomorrow. And until next time, don't stop believing. Peace. Okay, I'm going to try and make this quick. So this tweet came out while after I was recording. If we lose our next game in overtime, our record will be 19-6-7. It always has to be 19-67. Hey.